This is Kurt.
This is Tracy.
And this is the MFG Cast.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
That sounded very serious.
That was very serious.
Oh. And Goose says hello.
Our dog barks because we say hello. No. There's nobody here. It's just us recording for the podcast. We are Hey, no barking. We're trying to record over here.
Do we try it again?
No. I like it when we leave stuff like this in. Everybody can hear our dog bark.
Okay. He's pretty cute.
Yeah, he is pretty cute. We are going to be talking about That's Pretty Clever, or if you're German, Gang Schon Clever. I don't know if that's how you say it, but...
Why are you laughing?
I don't know, because I'm terrible at pronouncing things, so...
Yes.
This is a dice game that was...
A roll and write.
A roll and write, yes.
As one would say.
That is true. It was created by Wolfgang Warsch, and... published by, what is it, CMK?
CMYK.
CMYK.
I wonder what that stands for.
I don't know. It's probably German.
Too's many...
Oh, it's actually Brooklyn, New York is where the company's based out of. I was like, it's not German.
Yeah,
Brooklyn. Wolfgang Warsch is probably German.
I could give you the P.O. box if anyone wants that.
we'll look it up.
It's right on the game box.
That's right.
No, how about not?
Nah.
It also says...
Yeah, I think it's in partnership with Schmidt Spiel.
GmbH?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting very detailed.
Yeah,
we're
getting way past the description of this.
But that's pretty clever. Rolling right.
Yeah.
One
to two players.
I'm looking at it and I'm seeing something else. One to four players. They say it plays 15 minutes. It probably depends on how much you are analyzing your moves. And it plays 8 and up for ages.
For ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it, I think, unless you object, from a couple sides of things. And one is we played it as a two-player game, and we played it also solo.
Yeah, that's right. And depending upon the player count, you play a series of rounds. So like four players, you play four. For three players, you play five. Or if you're playing solo or two-player, you play six rounds.
Yep. And so the game has this really nice, pretty beefy pad of paper where you log all your moves. And on the back side of it is where you log your score based on your results from the game. And, like, it just flips over, and voila.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing you can probably even order more of these.
Yeah, probably.
That's kind of how a lot of games like this play.
Yeah. Or we've done something in the past where we've actually taken a page and laminated it, and then you can play it forever. Whoa. If you have Try Erase.
Forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Anyway, so that's pretty clever.
Mm-hmm.
This is a game that has been sitting in our collection for a while, not played.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, was it like a week ago? We pulled it out of our collection, opened it up, and decided to play it on a small table that we have, propping it in our living room so that we could kind of play comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Because we wanted to play something, but we didn't want to play anything too large and in charge on a table.
Yeah.
And this fits on a nice... I think the table is a little bit bigger than like a TV tray table.
Yeah, it's almost like a 3x3.
Yeah. But you could even play it on something smaller than
that. I think so, too.
And we got to it. So... Yeah. Do you want to start on what you play?
Sure.
Or how you play?
Sure.
Not what you play. I play games.
For the first round, you actually get a bonus, which is kind of fun, but we'll talk about the bonuses later. So you'll circle that bonus, but you start out with 6 dice. Each of them have a different color. They're green, blue, purple, white, yellow, and orange. And what you do is you roll all of them at the same time, and then you're going to take one of those dice to use as the active player. So it depends upon which dice you take, and each dice has like a special ability. Or a special ability. It has a special area as far as scoring it goes. So like there's like the yellow area, you will just pick that number straight up, and you will find it on your little...
It's like a 4x4 grid.
Grid, yep. And you'll pick that number and you'll cross it out. Depending upon if you get it, if you cross out numbers on a whole column or a row, you'll get bonuses. So like if you're going on the rows, you'll actually get in-game bonuses. Like they've got like you can cross off a blue spot or a orange 4. You can write an orange 4, or you can write cross off a green spot, or you can get a fox. And foxes we'll kind of talk about later.
So they trigger additional moves throughout your play.
Throughout your play, yep.
But if you pick a die, well, you can't pick a die that you've already crossed off. So it's not like you have, if you pick a yellow die and you've already crossed all the ones off in that section, you can't.
You can't use that.
Do that.
Yep, for sure. And then on the columns, you'll score different points depending upon where it goes from left to right. And then, so say you pick that yellow die and you use that certain area. What you're going to do is now, depending upon what number is on that die, you're going to be taking what numbers are below that, not the same number or above, but below that, and you're going to put them on the silver platter, which will be used for the other players following after you've taken your active turn. Okay? Then you're going to roll the rest of the dice, so in this case it would be 5 dice, because you're already taking that one die that you used and put it on your one slot on your piece of paper, and there's 3 slots because you're going to be taking 3 dice during your active player turn. And then you're going to be rolling those again, and then you pick another one. So, like, I'm just going to randomly pick another color. So, like, say green. So, for the green area, what you're doing is you're starting from left to right, and it has a number, and it says you either have to match that number or be greater. So, it starts with the number 1. So, as long as you roll a 1... or greater, you can cross that off and you go to the next one. So you would take that second die and you put it in the second slot. Take anything that's below that number again, put it on the silver platter for following. And then you're going to go a third time. You're going to take another color. So this time I'm going to talk about another color. So we're going to talk about white. So white is a wild. So for wild, you'd be able to take whatever number is on that white wild die, and you're going to fill in a certain area depending upon that. The only difference is, to do something different, is if you're going to be filling out the blue section. So the blue section, you're always filling out the white die plus the blue die to make whatever numbers appear that you're going to be crossing off in that area. And in that area, you can also get bonuses, as well as if you, depending upon however many spots you check off during the game, you'll get a certain amount of points for the end game. So once your 3 rolls or your 3 dice are taken as you are the active player, then whatever's left that is the below the numbers that you've rolled on that silver platter, the other players are going to be following. So, Tracy, what are you going to be doing when you follow the other player's active turn?
First, I was going to ask a question.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
And others may be asking this.
Yeah.
So, you were talking about the white die, and mm-hmm. then you were saying if you decided that you wanted to ever do take the blue die, the white has to pair with it, then... If that ever happens, then let's say okay, how do I word this? If you take the blue die, let's say that's one of your dice in your three dice that you select, and you have to take the white die is still going to stay on that platter, potentially.
Yeah. Correct. Wherever it is on your board, if it's in the on the platter, if it's in the rolling tray, or if it's even on your pad, the white die will stay there. You're not moving the white or the blue die to add up the total. You're just adding the total of the white and the blue. That's a good question.
Yep. And I knew the answer to it, but I wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, yeah.
So can you go back now and tell me what the, or ask me the question again?
Sure. So okay, what are you doing when you're following after the active player has taken all their turns?
Okay. As the inactive player, or the, I think they might call it the passive player.
Sure.
Basically, what that person is going to do is on this plate, which Kurt keeps talking about, is it is what it is, actually. It is a fake-looking drawn plate inside of the box of a game.
Yeah.
So if you want to place your dice on there, you can. We did. If you want to set them aside, I think it was just easier for us to put them on there to distinguish the difference between unrolled dice and the dice we can't use as active players. Mm-hmm. So you're going to, as the passive player or the next player up for this round, you're going to look at the dice that are rolled. You don't roll them. You take their values as is, because if you're not going to, that's another thing. If you're, as the active player, if you're moving the rolled dice over that are under the value of the dice that are staying on the sheet of paper, they stay as is. So you're not changing their values. They stay as is onto the plate. So what you're going to do is you're going to look at them. So if I go by your example, there should be like a orange. No, did you talk about orange? Orange die, purple die, and a blue die.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have to decide then what die I want to use on my turn. So Kurt talked about the blue area, we talked about the yellow area, and we talked about the green area. So let's say I want to take the orange one. I don't know what number it is, but I'll just give you an idea of what else can be done. So for the orange area, it's just a straight up left to right line. So you can put whatever value you would like in that section. So let's say it was a 2. So I'm just going to write a 2 in that square. As you proceed on through that line, you can get extra bonuses like rerolls. When you go farther on, you can have other in-game play to be able to cross off additional spaces within other colors. Or there is a square, a couple squares actually, in there that times the value of that die that you put in there. So if you select a 5 orange, you'll actually put a 10 in there instead, which is a lot of points. So that's the orange section. Let's say I picked purple. Purple is, it goes from left to right also. It's just a straight line. And what you're going to do is whatever number you start with, the next number in succession has to be greater than that number that you placed. So again, let's say I placed a purple 2. I have to place above a 2. So I can place a 4. And then so on and so forth. Once you place a 6, then you can continue and move back down to a 1. Because obviously you can't place more than above a 6 if you only have one die. And then you begin again. As you're moving on through the line, you're going to get those bonuses again. Reroll bonuses, extra in-game bonuses to be able to cross off spaces throughout in additional boxes, potential to use an additional dice through your turn, and then also a fox that Kurt alluded to, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, and a thing to remember when it comes to the purple spaces, and when you get that 6 and you're able to put something else after that, you can put any number. So you could if you were lucky enough to get another six, you could put another six, yep, and another six and another six, which gave you a lot of points.
Yep. So. You just obviously can't go above a six.
Yeah.
So that's when you can start over or continue on.
Yeah.
With the gameplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Sorry. Did I miss anything in that?
No.
I don't think so. So then as that passive player, so you can only pick one of those dice that are on the plate. And as the game progresses, there may not be three dice on the plate anymore if somebody chooses to play an extra die during their turn, which is a bonus that we'll talk about here. You may only be able to choose between two. You may not even be able to play at all. So an example of a time where you may not be able to play at all is, let's say, Kurt passes the move to me. It's my turn as a passive player. And he has a yellow and purple on there. The yellow die is a number that I already have crossed off of my square. And the purple is not high enough to beat the last one that I've placed on there. I don't get to take my turn.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you can't use a reroll as a passive player. So, yeah. Yep. So then my turn would be done.
Yeah. So let's go over those. So there's those bonus actions that you'd get during the game. So there's reroll action and there's an extra die action. So as an active player, you can use rerolls and you can use as many rerolls as you want during your turn. So again, it's just if you have some rerolls circled during the game, you could just cross them off, reroll, and then either take something or reroll again.
Yep.
The extra die action is different from the reroll action, where this one you can only take the extra die action once everybody has gone, once the active player has gone, and once the passive players have gone. And then when it comes to an extra die action, it means you get to pick any die that is anywhere on the platter, on the someone's sheet, or in the dice tray.
And you can use the extra die action as a passive player also, right?
Correct.
Whereas the reroll, you cannot use that as a passive
Correct.
Player.
Correct. Yep.
Which makes sense because you wouldn't reroll dice when it's not your turn.
Mm-hmm.
And you only have like two or three or whatever to
yeah,
use.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense.
And so there, you know, like we said, like every round you'd get like a bonus, so like a reroll action or an extra die action. On round four, you actually get a choice. So you can cross off or write down any number in any one of the sections that's a legal move. So like in the yellow and the blue sections, you could cross off any number. In the green area, you have to start from wherever the leftmost one you haven't crossed off, and you cross that off. In the orange one, you're actually, what you're doing there is you're just crossing off a section. So you're not actually getting a number there, which is kind of ridiculous if you wanted to do that. But the other option in round four is also writing a six. So that would probably be something you'd want to do in that orange area, is writing a six in that area. And then the, again, starting from left to right in the orange area. And then in the purple area, again, furthest left, but then you have to make sure that if you're doing that six, the six doesn't matter because it's always going to be the highest one. So you'd probably put the six there and not that X.
Yep. So the bottom three, which you'll see when you look at the sheet of paper, it's obvious that you would, well, maybe it isn't, that you would start from left to right. It's like you're filling out a...
Yeah, it's got a little arrow that kind of tells you.
Yep.
But again, some things are just not as obvious as others.
Yep,
so
that's why I retracted.
For sure.
Because I was like, oh.
Yeah. And then, like we talked about, another bonus thing is if you get foxes. So if you get foxes, depending upon however many foxes that you circle as your bonus during the game, you will take, at the end of your game, whatever you have the least amount of points in that section, and those foxes will be worth that amount. So say you have two foxes, and say your purple section, you only have like 6 points. Well, you're going to get two foxes times the 6 points. You're going to get 12 points there.
Yep.
So, you know, a goal would be to try to get as much as you can to get the most amount of points in each area, which is kind of hard, but it's not impossible. Then it would make your fox your fox values that much better. So then, again, depending upon however many rounds you're playing, depending upon however many players, you play out those many rounds, then you're going to count the points in every different area, and then whoever has the highest score wins.
Yep. And again, flip over your sheet and do your scores there, and it's handy-dandy.
Yeah, easy peasy.
And then I did talk about at the beginning that we were able to play this solo also. Mm-hmm. So I actually started playing the solo first and then made Kurt play it solo to see if he could beat my score, because it seems damn near impossible. Because for those of you who have ever played a solo game, at the end of these types of solo games, at least, they give you like a little chart. And if you scored this amount of points, they're like, better luck next time, or you suck. Mm-hmm. Okay, they don't say that. But then they're like, you're awesome, you saved the world, or, you know, whatever. I would never get that. I thought I did pretty good. I was like second from last or third from last. I don't remember. You went one up from me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think you were third from last. I was fourth from last.
Yeah. We didn't do that great.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised. And basically the difference between a solo play versus, like, I would imagine any other play, because we only played two player and you can play up to four, is you're rolling all the dice. I'm trying to think of how this went. This is me and you talking
you're,
right now.
So when you're playing solo, you're in each round, you're the active and the passive player. So you're taking your active round, and then you're taking the passive round. And you're doing that for six rounds. So you're kind of playing it the same as the other game, but
There was something weird about it, though.
But you can kind of call the shots on where the dice are going and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, possibilities, you wouldn't be like, okay, there will be some times where, like, okay, maybe I'll, you know, take some of these higher point dice because, you know, that no one else is going to be taking those points away from me or getting more points than me because I'm doing that one. But one of the things that I don't think we ever really talked about, and we kind of did, but we can't, I don't know. It's hard to tell. That when you roll those dice, and if you take a higher die and there's dice that are lower than that, you're not using them for the rest of that round. So, like, you have to be kind of careful because you can kind of screw yourself out of getting even three dice for that active round.
Well, you did, kind of, because you said you set them aside on the plate for the passive player.
Yeah.
So, one thing that I'm going to add to your statement is, and I knew there was something that was that we were missing, and I had to read this like a billion times as I was playing this, but it says that in a solo game, it lasts six rounds. So you start as the active player, and then you take your turn, but then you move in again as the passive player. But when the player is in the passive role, he rolls all six dice and places the three lowest values onto the silver platter.
Oh, that's what that
is. So that is the difference.
Yeah.
So you're still throwing stuff onto the silver platter when you're the active player, because you're not going to utilize those dice again, I believe.
Yeah.
But when it's your turn to be the passive player, you're actually re-rolling all the dice again to act as that passive player, but you're taking the three lowest dice that are closest to the silver platter and you're placing them on the silver platter and you're using the other ones. Let's see, with the other dice closer to the silver platter breaking the tie.
So you're taking those three lowest dice. But if there's ties, then whatever's closest to that silver player, that's what you're putting on there. And that's what you're using as the passive player. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, sense. There's something different than what you were talking about.
Well,
but I couldn't remember why.
I suppose then it makes sense then, because then you're not doing the cheating thing where you're taking a lot of higher dice and leaving some of the other stuff that you could use in the, as that passive player. It kind of like it forces you to reroll to get those passive player dice that maybe it won't be as good for you.
But honestly, I think even if they didn't have it set up like that in the solo mode, I have no idea how you could score greater than 280 points.
I don't know either.
To get you're so clever.
Yeah.
I got not bad. You could do better.
Mm-hmm.
And you got that was pretty good. And the one right below the one I got was try harder.
Yeah.
And I just, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
But I think it's like that on some of the other roll and writes that I play solo, like Bravo and stuff like that too. I think, they're not by the same creators, but there's like two of them that I like to play that are similar, like, I think that are similar to that.
Yeah, I think that the guy, Wolfgang Warsh, who made this game, made another game that we have as well. That's like it's like something
similar to this.
It's like it's even called like clever something. I forget, but yeah.
Interesting.
But
yeah, I mean, that doesn't stop me from wanting to try to beat my score. But I wanted to see what Kurt felt about it. After I played it solo, I went, what? I really suck at this. You play it. It's going to be fast. And you played it very fast, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, it was probably only 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I feel like any game that has, like, solo rules and points, I feel like they just do a graduated level and a score to make you feel like you could reach that. And I'm like, you're never going to reach that. You know? It's crazy to me. But.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But what'd you think of the game?
I'm a sucker for rolling rights like this. I'm kind of a nerdy kind of gal when it comes to stuff like this. And so I like it. And I was excited that. Thanks a lot. Mm-hmm. I was excited to be able to try it solo also.
Yeah.
I know you're not always a fan of these because you feel like I run away with it sometimes, but I really like to, I don't know. I grew up playing these thinky kind of strategy-ish kind of games. And I know that there's people out there that don't really like dice rolling games because it's all about the luck.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. But this gives you lots of opportunity to be able to place dice in different spots. And you do have to have a strategy in regards to what dice you're going to play and what spots you want to play them. And how can I get my biggest bang for my buck to be able to trigger to place an X in another spot and to get another bonus. And to get more foxes and to be able to get another reroll, because it's pretty awesome when you like are on a roll like a donut and you can get that extra X in another spot and you can get this other, I mean, because then you feel like you're doing something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it does take a little bit to kind of get that started.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but once you figure it out, the comboing is pretty easy.
Yeah.
And again, I am of the type, and if you listen to this podcast, you've heard it before, like, I like to try different things. So, like, when we decided, or when you did solo, and you're like, you should try it, I decided that I was going to try to get as much yellow and blue spots as possible, and then just kind of, like, decently work on the other ones, and that's where I beat you on the score for the solo game is because I was working on these big scores on the yellow and blue, but I was lacking on these other ones. So it's like, you know, it's like a half dozen of one and whatever and
yeah.
whatever another, you know, that kind of thing. It's just, you want to be able to like maximize every single area, but you're not going to be able to because games like this don't let you do that unless you're being smart and doing the combos and getting as much as possible. But that I think that also comes with time.
Yeah, no, I agree. You were talking about that. Just looked because that was bothering me what other clever game he came up with. And we do have it, and it's twice as clever.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, and I think we liked that game too.
And so that's pretty clever. It's pretty clever. Came out in 2018, and Twice as Clever came out in 2019.
Gotcha.
Did he do... This is me and you talking. Did he actually...
Yes.
...create all these?
Yes. He created Taverns of Tiffendale.
Tiffenthal?
What's the other one that I just saw? It's the potion one.
Quacks?
Quacks, yep. He also did Quacks.
Wavelength?
Yeah, he's...
Man, he has a lot of games on here.
He does a lot of different cool games.
I did not realize.
Yeah. I didn't realize he was such a young guy. So you showed me the picture. I was like, for some reason, I thought he was an old guy.
Well, unless that's an old picture of him.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, quite.
But yeah, he's done a lot of great games, and this is no exception. It's, again, like, I think sometimes my brain works a little differently on games like this than others, and I think that's why sometimes games like this kind of break my brain a little bit, and that's why I think I get a little frustrated. But again, it won't stop me from playing it.
He did Bricks too, which is... Maybe we did an episode on Bricks.
Yeah, we did.
Also a great game that I like to play, and it is a good solo game also.
Yeah. A lot of good Roll and Writes are good solo games if you're looking for something like that. Just something like take you a few minutes when you're waiting for supper to cook, or when you're waiting in line at the airport, or you're at a cafe and just want to, you know, throw some dice for a little bit, you know? Just, it's one of those games.
Gosh, so. He did a lot. The sure. Mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Blue Banana? What the
heck? Yeah, totally.
Heck is that? He did do a game called Blue Banana. Cool. I don't know what that is.
But yeah. Yeah. If you, if there's something you're interested in, go to your local board game store. Take a look. It's pretty cheap. It's like, I think, like... 15-ish or so dollars or something for it, I think.
Are you just making it up?
Dollars? Yeah, I'm just making it up.
We can't pronounce anything today.
No, we can't. That's okay.
And again, that's pretty clever.
It is pretty clever.
If it would be $15.
Yeah, $15 hairs.
Or doll hairs. Yes. Aw. Okay.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So that's it for us. Hopefully you really enjoyed our little spiel on That's Pretty Clever. I wanted to say That's So Clever. That's so Raven. All right, I am rambling, and we'll let you go. Until next time, I am Kurt.
And I'm Tracy.
And this was the MFG Cast. See you later.
Bye.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.